سلام 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 سلام.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Jorge Garcia. I will be telling you my story of how I embrace Islam at the Deen Show. So please don't go nowhere, we'll be right there with you.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to the Deen Show, which is a way of life we try to put out there for everyone to see, helping you understand Islam and Muslims. And we got a really great show for you today. We are bringing on a brother, a gentleman who has accepted Islam years back, and he's on the Deen Show today to tell you his story on why he chose this beautiful way of life so all of you can benefit. I'm going to take a break and then we're going to bring him back on. So stay tuned for the Deen Show's Why Jorge Garcia Accepted Islam. We'll be right back on the Deen Show. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
Wa alaikum wa salam, my brother.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good. How you doing?
All right. Alhamdulillah, I'd like to thank you, first of all, for coming out to the Deen Show.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
And I'm sure everybody's excited to hear your story. So we're going to let the viewers benefit. We're going to ask you a few questions.
Inshallah.
Everybody's eager to know. Probably ears are glued to the screen.
Okay.
So tell us first a little bit about yourself and what you do.
I work for a Japanese company. I am the warehouse manager there. I am in charge of the international and export and import of the company's products.
Okay, so tell us, what were you before you were Muslim?
I was a Christian.
What kind of Christian?
Actually, I was raised in two different Christianity beliefs, the Catholic and then Presbyterian.
Okay, now tell us, how long ago did you accept Islam?
4 years ago.
Let's go back now. Tell us a little about, were you a practicing Christian, and give us some highlights of your life back then and how you stumbled across Islam.
Well, I'm going to make it short because it's pretty long. So how I came to Islam started when I started practicing Christianity at an early age, trying to find out the truth. Being my father Catholic and my mother Presbyterian, I had to taste of both beliefs. So as I was growing up, I went to different branches of Christianity to find out how come I was feeling this emptiness all the time in me and asking questions about certain topics in Christianity, which I brought to my parents. And asking these questions, I wanted to do some more research, and so I started looking at other branches of Christianity, which I joined together with them. For instance, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Catholics, Pentecostals, you name it, I went through them just to find out where my belief was at and what was the difference between all of them.
So you joined all of these?
Yeah, as I was growing up, I became interested in this group of Christianity and then the next group of Christianity. But as I was growing up, I was looking for more answers than what I was getting.
So what was the main difference now between some of the Seventh-day Adventists, the Presbyterians and the Catholics? What was the difference between them, that you had to keep going from one to the next to the next?
Well, the difference is that the Catholics believe that Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in my mother's branch of Christianity, which is the Presbyterian, was that he is the Son of God. And then I had the group of the Seventh-day Adventists. They believe he is the Son of God, but also they have their own prophet, which kind of struck me out of an irregular. I have to find out what this prophet came from, which is a female prophet. So I have to find out.
Female prophet.
It's a female prophet, yes. So,
and now, it's never been in history that we know of, even through in the Bible, that there is one female prophet.
No.
No.
Actually,
way.
This is what.
That's odd.
That's very odd. So when I asked the questions about the certain things about what this female prophet is mentioned in the Bible, I never got an answer.
And you're talking about the Seventh-day Adventists?
The Seventh-day Adventists.
Okay, yeah. So that didn't make sense, and you went on from there?
And I went on to the next step, and then I went and also found out about the Jehovah's Witnesses. And then in the same, the Jehovah's Witnesses was that they believe that Jesus is a prophet, but they have their own prophet also.
They don't believe he's God.
No, they don't believe he's God.
But he's the Son of God.
That he's the Son of God, but they have a prophet of their own also, just the Seventh-day Adventist. Mm-hmm. So this also struck me odd. So I wanted to ask questions about this, but I never got the right answer to it.
What were some of the questions that you were asking?
The same questions I had the Seventh-day Adventists. How come you have this prophet when the Seventh-day Adventists have another prophet? How come this is not mentioned, that this your prophet is not mentioned here by name, or that he's going to be the prophet after the prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, may peace be upon him? Things like that.
Okay, but what was the core belief that unites kind of them all? Or is it when you go from one branch to the next, it's... I know there's some details, but I know all of them believe in the crucifixion. Is that right?
Yes, they all believe in the crucifixion, and they also believe in the unity of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now, the Jehovah's don't believe in the Trinity.
No, they don't believe in the Trinity, but they believe that He's the Son of God, and, like I mentioned, that He's a prophet. So this, they are more closer to in the understanding of Islam, but also they still don't accept certain things in that the other Christians we have in common. But they are very different in believing than that he's the Son of God. They believe he's the prophet.
So you really had a strong attachment to Jesus?
I had a really, really strong attachment to Jesus. For 44 years I had a strong attachment. I still do.
And you still do. Is there something now that is brought you away from Jesus? Or you, do you feel closer to Jesus Christ now or then?
I feel closer to him now. Actually,
this might be odd for some people who say, okay, hold on, you're not a Christian anymore. You're Muslim.
Right.
And Muslim is just one who surrenders and submits to Almighty God, who does Islam. Islam means surrender and submission to one God. So now that you're doing, you're submitting to God alone on His terms,
right,
associate no partners with Him as a Muslim.
Right.
Now, someone might say, hold on, hold on. How is your connection tighter with Jesus now than before? Explain that.
Well, my connection to Him is more tighter with Him from how you look at the text and how you are being taught in the translations in the scriptures. You are to believe in one certain part of how he came to the world for your sins, where in Islam it tells you how he really is. This is the difference, and where he was really saying in the Bible. So this in connection to him makes me closer to him, because I know him more personally, what he really was and who he really was, and how was the message brought from him to the time of his generation, of the time of the time he was alive. So let me make this clear. Like, for instance, the message that he brings is the same message that the rest of the prophets brings. There is only one God. They might argue with this. They might say, no, this is not it, you know. But this is how it is. If you look at the scriptures, you know, this is what I'm talking about, especially when you're looking at Islam. Islam is showing me, especially in the Surah of Miriam.
Chapter Miriam. There's a chapter named after Jesus' mother.
Right. And so in this surah, if you read it, chapter, and you can read it, you can see the story and the story, how it's told in the Bible. It's almost comparative, you know, but there's some differences. But I tend to look at the more open view of it. And so I feel more closer to him in the truth that what Islam has brought me.
So is it safe to say that you greet like Jesus greeted, because he greeted with peace? He would say, "Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you," wouldn't he?
Peace be unto you, yes.
That's in the Bible?
That's in the Bible.
What other things can you tell us that he did that you do now?
How to pray, how he did his prayers. Mm-hmm. The prayers that he did is mentioned in Matthew and in the first Gospels. He submitted by prostrating, meaning to the ground, face and hands on the ground, knees on the ground, and your forehead on the ground with your nose and face touching the ground.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons that I also makes more sense to me than how they pray now. You know, not to insult anybody, but this is how I look at these things, you know.
Yeah, this is to build understanding now.
Right.
Okay, to see that we're not ones who have no connection with Jesus. We like to say that we're very Christ-like, because Christ actually means the what? The anointed one? The chosen one by God?
The Messiah.
The Messiah. And we as Muslims, we believe that he was the Messiah.
Right, he was the Messiah, yes.
He was chosen by God?
Well, yeah, he was chosen by God as an anointed person. It's a sign to show the people that his miracles are made through only through God.
And when we say Christ-like, meaning that Christ, he worshiped God alone.
Right.
He didn't set up partners with him.
Right.
He didn't call on any saints or anybody else other than God.
Other than God.
He said, name us some verses from the Bible where he explicitly now calls upon God and he calls people to worship one God.
You can look at in the book of Mark, in chapter 12, verse 29, where he says, O Israel, the first commandment is to worship your Lord. It's only your Lord, your God is only one Lord. So there, he's saying, your God is my God. Is only one Lord. There's only one God.
One verse I like also from the Bible is, I believe it's John 20:17. Do you know that when he says, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, my God and your God.
Right.
Is that the right verse? Well, you know the verse I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a good statement to him. So these are the statements that before I would not read like truly, you know, like I would not understand what the meaning was until I saw it clearly, that the message he was saying, that he's only bringing the message, try to fulfill the prophecy of Moses, you know, to finish the Torah, you know, completing that. But he didn't complete it because someone else has to come to it.
Someone has to come.
Right.
And what's that verse that talks about another prophet coming?
This would be John 16:7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that if I not go away, the comforter will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send them to you. And he will reprove the world of sin. So that someone has to come to finish his job.
But some people say that's the Holy Ghost.
Well, it's not true. What is the Holy Ghost? I will explain. What is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? And I ask many Christians nowadays, I ask, who's the Holy Ghost? And I get different answers from them.
Tell us, share this with us.
Some of them will say that he is a being. They don't know what kind of being he is. Some of them say he's another person. And some of them say that he's Jesus, alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, how can it be Jesus if Jesus is in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? So if the Son is the Son, who's the Holy Ghost? But if you look at Matthew and Luke, it will tell you who is Holy Ghost is in actual, in reality. It'll explain to you who he is.
Who is he?
Angel Gabriel.
Angel Gabriel.
Right.
The angel that was assigned by God to deliver the revelation to the prophets.
Right.
All right, okay. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with our guest here, Jorge, to finish telling us how he came to submission, surrender, obedience, sincerity, and in peace directly to one God, one Creator. And we'll be right back on The Dean Show.
Muhammad teaches us to worship one God, to speak truth, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to give charity. Even a smile can be charity. To protect women from misuse, to shelter orphans, and to turn away from gods of wood and stone. God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Who taught you those names?
They are named in the Quran.
I knew Muhammad when he was an orphan minding sheep.
And we knew Christ as a carpenter. What Christ says and what your Muhammad says is like two rays from the same lamp.
They are lying to you. They deny Christ. You worship three gods, they say. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they say.
What do you say of Christ?
They say God cannot have a son. Christ is not the Son of God.
Speak to me of Christ.
We say of Christ what our prophet has taught us, that God cast his Holy Spirit into the womb of a virgin named Mary, and that she conceived Christ, the apostle of God.
The apostle, he says, not the son, not the son.
What does your miracle, your Quran, say of the birth of our dear Lord Jesus Christ?
May I relate the words?
Come closer to me.
In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Relate in the book the story of Mary, how she withdrew from her family to a place in the east. How we sent to her our angel, Gabriel, who said, I am a messenger from your God to announce the birth of a holy son to you. She said, how shall I, Mary, have a son when no man has touched me? And Gabriel replied, for your Lord says, it will happen. We appoint him as a sign unto man and a mercy from us. It is a thing ordained.
difference between us and you is no thicker than this lie. Not for a mountain of gold will I give them up to you.
All right, back on the Dean Show, the all-new show on Islam and Muslims. And we left off, we're hearing in the studio Jorge, and he's telling us how he came to Islam. And we're letting you know that Muslims, we love Jesus, we revere him as one of the mightiest messengers of God. And today, we're going to talk about how coming to Islam for one man has strengthened his bond with Jesus, actually. We have in the studio Jorge. Thank you again for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So, one thing we mentioned, Christ-like, that we pray like Jesus, we circumcise like Jesus, we do all the works, because what's another verse that he said that nobody's going to enter the kingdom, okay, unless they keep the commandments, right? So we try to keep God's commandments. We don't break them or any of these things. So everything that God said to do, we do. Everything that he loves, we love. So just to touch on that, now let's go back to what you said, that another prophet was coming after Jesus.
Right. Now, that is a prophecy that is being said by Muslims that he was going to come. And to make it clear, you can look at a certain couple of verses, and like I said, many Christians will object to this, what I'm going to say right now, but if you look in Deuteronomy 18:18, and also Isaiah 29:12, you look at these verses, and you can compare them, and then also John 16:7, and then you can see clearly.
What do they say?
Well, Deuteronomy 18:18, chapter 18, verse 18 says that God's saying that he will raise a prophet among their brethren, like unto you. Like unto whom? Moses, because we're talking about the five books of Moses, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, and Exodus, and Deuteronomy. So in here he's talking about that he's going to raise a prophet among thy brethren. And we ask, who's the brethren of the Israelites? And if we look at the story, and Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. So from Isaac comes the Jews, and from Ishmael comes the Arabs. So the Arabs are the brethren of the Israelites. So this is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So this is one of the verses. And if you look at the verse in Isaiah 29:12, it says, and the book is delivered to him who is not learned. And it says, I pray thee, read. And he says, I cannot read, I'm not learned. Who are we talking about?
That's how the revelation came to the last and final messenger of mankind, the prophet Muhammad. The angel had told him, Ikra, which means read, recite, proclaim, and he was unlearned. He was known as the unlettered prophet.
Right. This is when angel Gabriel came to him and grabbed him and told him to read. So this prophet is in there. And also, and now it's confirmed that he, by Jesus in the end, in John 16:7, it says, nevertheless, I have to leave. If I do not leave, I will not send the counselor, the comforter. But if I leave, I will send them to you. So here is the connection to this. Like I said, many Christians will object to what I'm saying, but this is the truth, you know. So we are here to tell the truth. And so this is what also makes me closer to Jesus. You know, one of the reasons, you know, I believe that he was one of the mighty prophets that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And God is the only one who can do this.
Yeah. So let's go back now a little bit, rewind, and tell us, you're going from one denomination to the next and to the next, and you're searching. You're obviously searching for the correct way. You don't want to just follow what your forefathers did, what your parents raised you to be. You have some doubts. You got questions. Now let's start from there. How you overcame this and you came to Islam. How did all this come to being?
Well, we know that Allah gave us a mind of our own.
Now, when you say Allah, for those people that know who you're talking about.
I mean God. He gave us a mind to choose, and I choose to do my research. I choose to read. I choose to investigate. And by reading and investigating, you find certain things. Most of the people don't read about these things, and they need to do their own research. They need to start reading and finding for themselves. I mean, we're not forcing them. But how I came to embrace Islam is by the grace of God. He's the one who led me to this pathway. It's by His grace that I'm here.
Tell us some of the details. How was it? One day, one night? Tell us a little
bit. Well, what happened was I was practicing and this is one martial arts school. I was practicing Aikido. It's a Japanese martial arts. And as I was practicing this martial arts, I bumped into a young man from Algeria. And I thought he was Spanish because he looked Spanish. And so I approached him and I talked to him in Spanish and I asked him if he wanted to practice with me. But he said, I don't speak Spanish. And I go, where are you from? He goes, I'm from Algeria. And here I ask him if he was a Muslim, and then the reasons why I ask him, I don't know. I just started asking him questions, you know, I just began to ask him questions. I knew a little bit about Islam, but not that much at the time. So I told him if he can please bring me a Quran, because I hear this book has got so many things that people are so afraid of it, you know, they're so terrified of this Quran that it's going to brainwash you and all of this. So I asked him to bring me a Quran. And I wanted to read this for myself. And then so 2 weeks went by and he came by with this book and the Holy Quran, and then he brought it to me.
You had the translation of the Quran?
Oh yeah, I had the translation, yes. And then on one side he gave me the Arabic, and then on the other side he gave me the translation in English, because he asked me either in Spanish or in English. I say English will be fine. I speak both languages anyway.
Yeah.
So I took it home, and I told him before I even took it home, I told him how much I owe him. He goes, it's nothing. It's just a gift. Take it with you. So there was this was a Thursday night, and I began to wonder about this book, and I said, well, let me see how this book people are talking about. So I read it, and it hit me. It just hit me right there and then. It just opened the first page, and it was the Surah Al-Fatiha. And I read in the first chapter that opens the Quran, and I just read the title on top where it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, which means, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent.
So in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, and right there, the author is not so-and-so, or Johnny, or Tommy, or Mike, or
Mark.
Or
according to this, or
according to that, it's identifying that it's from God Almighty.
This is it's confirming me something that I never saw before in any of the Bibles, because all the Bibles, if you can notice, they're being revised. And why are they revising? I don't have no reason, but I will talk. That's another topic.
Yeah.
But when I read this, it hit me. And so this is the reason why I did my research. And then when I started asking questions about Islam, I got the answers that I never got through asking the Christians about the reasons why this was not making any sense to me. But Islam made the most sense to me. And by the grace of Allah, I'm here. And this is the truth. And if you want to know why I'm saying the truth, because a lot of religion says they have the truth, but Islam also says they have the truth, but it also brings facts with it.
Backs it up with evidence.
Backs it up with evidence.
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back on The Dean Show.
While it is told in the Quran that it is easy for God to bring man to life after death, the fingerprint of man is particularly emphasized. Yes, we are able to put together in perfect order the very tips of his fingers. The emphasis on fingerprints has a very special meaning. This is because everyone's fingerprint is unique to himself. Every person who is alive or who has ever lived in this world has a set of unique fingerprints. That is why fingerprints are accepted as a very important identity card, exclusive to its owner, and used for this purpose around the world. But what is important is that this feature of the fingerprint was only discovered in the late 19th century. Before then, people regarded fingerprints as ordinary curves without any specific importance or meaning. However, in the Quran, God points to the fingertips, which did not attract anyone's attention at that time, and calls our attention to their importance, an importance that could only be understood in our age.
Thank you for tuning in to The Dean Show, the all-new show on Islam and Muslims, helping you develop a better understanding. And we have Jorge Garcia.
Yeah, Jorge Garcia.
Jorge Garcia. So, we left off on evidence.
Right.
What is some of the overwhelming evidence that really caught your attention and had you step over to submission and surrender to God?
Well, in the Quran, it mentions scientific facts that, you know, that didn't happen at the time. There was no scientific evidence at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like, for instance, you know, you're looking at astrology. It's talking about an ocean. There's two oceans, and there's a river between two oceans. They are salted, but in the middle of these two oceans, it's a river that runs
between.
A barrier-like. Yeah. That's not salted, but it's clear water. It's like, from a river, but it's not mixing with the two other oceans. He's talking about mountains that have roots embedded into the earth. So
like pegs.
Yeah, like pegs, right. And, you know, it talks about many, many different things that at the time, scientific wasn't even evolved. You know, and how this illiterate person knew about this. And also the other evidence I have would be that at the time of Jesus, let's make this, Jesus spoke Aramaic. And at the time he was in this earth, you know, none of his disciples wrote anything down. Remember, he never spoke Greek. So at the time, none of his disciples wrote anything down. And if they did, I want to see the evidence. I want to see where these books are at. Everything you have now is either in Hebrew or a Greek, you know, and so most of these are copies among copies. Whether it's the Quran, when he received the revelation, he dictated to his companions, and they wrote them down, and they were memorized, and then later on were compiled into what we have now, which is the Quran.
Yeah, tell us, we're running on time, we're going to come to a close, and tell us real briefly, because we're going to have to bring you back on for part two, because it's really interesting.
Inshallah.
And I'm sure a lot of people are getting the benefit. Tell us what you believe now and some of the daily activities to show the people that actually Islam is nothing weird. Islam is something, surrender and submission to the Creator is something natural. It's for everybody, and how it has affected your life, how it's changed it. Tell us some of your beliefs and what you live by day to day.
What you have done for me, it has made my life a lot easier. It has opened my eyes to a new, different perspective in life. Islam is, like I mentioned, you have mentioned, is peace. And also Islam, it opens doors for me. And now these doors are open not only to my family, to many other Latino communities, members there, Latino-speaking people that are wondering about Islam. Now what you hear on the television, this negative propaganda, yeah, there's some negatives, yeah, but it's not Islam itself. You know, you have to find out the true meaning of Islam. You have to find out what Islam is about. And Islam, once you really find out what Islam is beautiful. It talks about different things that they're putting in the media or in paper books or in books or whatever. This is not Islam. You want to find out about Islam, all you have to do is ask. And you can find out. Go to any mosque and ask your mosque community or any members of that mosque. Ask them, you know, and they will tell you.
Tell us what your belief is now.
My belief,
as opposed to before.
My belief is in the unity. There's only one God. And He's the only one without no partners. There is only one Creator, which I also taught in the beginning. There's nothing compared to Him. You know, so there's only one God, one Creator. And the prophets are His tools, and how He makes His miracles through these prophets. Because this is why the prophets came, to say there's only one God, there's only one unity, and the oneness of one God.
Real quick, last question. Now, who's taking and paying the price for your sins now? Someone would say that Jesus, He was the Lamb, He was the one that was nailed to the cross, and He spilled the blood for you. But now as a Muslim, what do you believe about this? Do you believe that someone else pays the price for your sins? Are you born into sin? Real quickly, just touch upon this.
No, you're not born into sin. Everybody individually is responsible for their own deeds. You can look at it also in the Bible, and you can look at it in Ezekiel 18, chapter 20. You can see this, and then it'll explain to you. And it says, the iniquities of the Father are not the iniquities of the Son, and the iniquities of the Son are not the iniquities of the Father. So they cannot carry each other's sins.
So what your father did,
it's on him. Right.
And what you're doing, that's on you.
That's right.
But if you turn to God and you apologize and you make a mistake,
right,
and you say you're sorry, and you sincerely from your heart, you change your ways,
right,
God forgives. He's the most merciful.
Right. If you're sincere with this.
If you're sincere.
If you're sincere with this, yes.
And that's what he wants from us, to be
sincere.
That's
all he wants from us, to be sincere.
To pass this test.
Right.
To struggle more for the hereafter instead of the worldly consumer world. Just consuming one day after the next, striving to have a bigger house, a fancier car, not thinking about death, which is a reality and is going to come. So we're talking about serious issues, letting the people benefit. And I'd like to thank you for being with us on the Dean Show. God willing, we're going to invite you back again so we can continue on with your story. We were short on time. And I'd like to thank everybody that's been tuning in. I'm getting your emails. Continue to support. Let all your friends and family know about the show. And inshallah, we're going to try to bring you a new show every week. What did we learn today? That surrender, submission, sincerely, obedience, is to be geared towards the creator of the heavens and earth alone, not any created being. You prostrate to him, you pray to him, you beseech him, you make a mistake, you call upon him alone. If a man who needs air is like I do, and if you put your hand over his mouth, he can't breathe no more, he needs that air, he's not what? He cannot be God. If he eats, he got to use the bathroom. He cannot be God. All right? So we have to know that the Creator is distinct from his creation, and that you call upon him alone. And if you can dig this, that you worship the Creator and not his creation, then you can dig Islam, you can dig submission and surrender. That's what it means, to God alone. And that's what the whole message is about, and doing good deeds. So again, I hope you got the benefit, and we'll see you again on the Deen Show. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.